Good morning, ladies.
Good morning.
It's good to see all of you this morning. I was afraid half of you might not make it. I passed a yard sale on the way. I thought, oh, we're going to lose some. It's good to see all of you here and that you made it. Lots of familiar faces. It's just wonderful. Oh, I enjoyed the special music. Wasn't that a blessing? Oh, that's just a quieting for your soul. Just a beautiful, beautiful thing. I'm delighted and privileged to be here this morning. I count it the invitation a special privilege from Mrs. Moore, and count that a blessing. And I always, whenever the Lord opens the doors, I just say, all right, Lord, if you have opened the door, then I will walk through it. And I count each and every time he gives me an opportunity to speak in his name, a privilege and an honor. And I get the privilege of talking about a damsel's dialogue today. This is going to be a fun and interesting journey for all of us, I'm sure. And recently, we spent some time in South Carolina. We were just there for about a month in September, and the South is just, you know, very tropical. You've got all this wonderful humidity, and you have all of these, you know, southern reptiles and southern bugs and all of these things that I'm well familiar with. However, the Lord has seen fit to have us spend most of our time in the Northeast since my girls have been born. And so consequently, my girls are not familiar with all of those wonderful little southern things that we appreciate so well as southerners. One thing that you remember very quickly as soon as you get to the South, here you look and you see a bird in the tree and you stop and you're like, oh, what a beautiful bird. Isn't it lovely? In the South, you stop to look at something. You stand still for 5 seconds, and you're like, oh, what's on my feet? What's on my feet? They have some evil little fire ants in the South, and you learn it takes about one day of being there that you don't stop and stand still until you look at the ground, make sure you don't see any little ant hills around or any of those little varmints, because they will tear into you. They're the tiniest, innocent-looking little black ants, but they have teeth, and they bite, and it stings like fire, and they blister and swell. But most recently, we were staying in South Carolina. We were in a small cottage, and the air conditioning went out. Not a good thing when you're in South Carolina in the month of September. It was dreadfully hot. And we had a man there coming to work on the unit and kept the doors open until 10 o'clock at night when he was finally finished with his work. And we were there, suitcases everywhere, and we close up the doors for the night. And I'm in one room getting dressed, and my daughter Elizabeth is in another room getting dressed. And I hear her holler. She's like, oh! I said, what? What? She said, something just darted across the room. I said, what was it? She said, it was big and it was black. I said, well, how big? She said, this big. I said, okay. I said, well, let me look around a little bit, see if I see it. She said, he went under that. And she was just all in a tizzy. And I'm just looking around, and so I start lifting things, and I see it. And I know exactly what it is, but I'm thinking in my mind, how can I say this gently? She was born in South Carolina, but she spent most of her time in the Northeast and on the road around the country. So how can I say this gently? So my heart's racing myself. I'm just thinking, okay, I'm going to handle this. I'm going to stay calm. And anyway, I see it and I said, oh, Elizabeth, they're totally harmless. That's just a southern palmetto bug. She's like, oh, okay. I said, don't worry, I'll take care of it. So I'm looking and I get this big broom and I'm walking around. And I see him. And so I get the broom and I bam it. And I don't know why. I think it's just the girly part of me. I can't just hit it with the broom. It sound effects. It's like, ooh, You know, you just have to make this little sound. And so I say, ooh, and Elizabeth screams, ah! So anyway, of course, I don't get them on the first try. So, you know, about five swings later, I have killed this bug. And I'm just feeling so proud. And she moves another bag, and there's another one. I'm like, oh, my goodness. So by this time, my husband, who's out in the yard, has started coming our way because he's fearful that we're nigh into death in there, that we're being attacked by something venomous. And so he comes running our way right as I take my last swing to get the second one with all my might. I hit it and I holler as I hit it for the sound effect, and I get the second one. He comes in, he says, "What's going on in here?" I said, "There was a palmetto bug." He said, "That's all?" I said, "Yes." He said, "And I'm supposed to be taking you to India next year?" I said, "Well, we'll get better." But for all of you northerners, whenever I said, how can I say this gently, a palmetto bug is what the southerners tell the northerners when they come to Hilton Head and all of our nice resort areas down there. They say, oh, those are just palmetto bugs. That's a nice, gentle word for roaches. You don't have to be nasty to have a roach in South Carolina. They just fly through the air. They love the pine trees. They love everything about the South. So you understand our dilemma. Saying it gently, I didn't have the heart to tell my daughter Elizabeth that night before bed that we had roaches flying around, big ones with wings like hummingbirds. But let's look here together at a damsel's dialogue. I'm going to give you a few pieces of information. There were some handouts given as you came in, and that'll be a little bit of a format for us. But did you all know that 75 to 80% of each day is spent communicating? That's a lot of time. It's said that women are gifted to speak 50,000 words a day, while men only speak about 25,000 words a day. Do we believe that? It was probably a man that did the research. If you're married and you have Mr. Wonderful at home and you're like, oh, he just doesn't communicate, he doesn't say anything, he comes home from work and all he does is grunts, well, it's because he's already used 24,500 of his words up before he even got home. So don't be surprised. Don't be alarmed. This is not abnormal behavior. And if you're married to one who has the gift of gabbing, just realize that you're the exception, not the norm. Men usually communicate much differently than women. But long, long before, there were kings and castles. There were knights and damsels. Long, long before, there was a king above all kings, a king of heaven and earth, a king that wanted every man, woman, boy, and girl that was ever born to be his child. And that king loved the world so much, wanted to have every one of us as his children, that he gave his only begotten son, Jesus, to come to this earth, to be born. The Jews were looking for a big, mighty, conquering king, but he didn't come that way. He came as a baby, the most helpless form among humanity. He came as a baby, lived a perfect and sinless and holy life, and then he willingly, though he was King of Kings and Lord of Lords himself, he willingly laid down his life on Calvary that he might pay the price for our sins, that he might redeem us to himself, that we might become the children of God. And that was the greatest love gift of all time, and that is the story of the King of heaven and earth who loves each and every one of us and wants to have a relationship with us. And we're going to talk a little bit further about this in a moment. But, you know, the first thing that you need to understand is that communication begins with a relationship with God. A relationship with God is the most vital aspect to any communication, because as a child of God, you have all of the assets of heaven and earth to help you in your communication with those that the Lord puts in your path. The first point that I want to share with you is a damsel of dignity knoweth the pathway to good communication. It's very important that we understand that pathway, and it's very important that we have those relationships lined up according as God has planned. You see, a damsel of dignity knoweth the pathway to good communication, and that communication begins with a relationship. I want to introduce you to Anna, a true daughter of dignity. If you would look with me, if you have your Bible and you'd like to see what the scripture says, in the book of Luke, chapter 2, verses 36 through 38. Luke chapter 2, verse 36 through 38. This is a true daughter of dignity. Her name was Anna. And before we read this scripture, I'd like to have a word of prayer. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I do thank you and praise you for the privilege of coming together with these ladies this morning. Lord, cleanse my heart, cleanse my mind. Help me to only speak the words that you would have me to speak. I need your help. Thank you that I can call myself a daughter of the King because of the relationship that I have with you through your Son, Jesus Christ, and what he did on Calvary. I pray that we would have open hearts and open minds, and that you would apply the words to each lady as she needs them. Make them personal for her. Make them personal for me. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Luke 2, verse 36 through 38. And there was one, Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Aser. She was of a great age and had lived with an husband 7 years from her virginity. And she was a widow of about 84 years, which departed not from the temple, but served God with fasting and prayers night and day. And she, coming in that instant, gave thanks likewise unto the Lord, and spake of him to all them that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. This woman was up in years, and she had only been married for 7 short years, but she gave her life to spending her time and nurturing her relationship with God. She was daily in the temple, and she spent her time in prayer and fasting. Ladies, good communication begins with prayer and sometimes fasting. Prayer is an essential element to our communication. Every day, we have to commit our lives. We have to surrender our tongues and our wills to communicate in our own way. We have to surrender that to the Lord on a daily basis and continually throughout the day. If we count on our own wit and our own knowledge, then we're going to mess it up every time. And I would like to say that we have to have prayer and fasting as a regular part of our prayer lives, as our dependence and our submission to God. Spending time in prayer is essential to good communication. There's no way around that. I cannot give you a shortcut. I cannot give you a 5-step easy plan. It has to be based on that walk with the Lord. For further study, you can see Psalm 18:30. There's some more that the Lord gives us about that. And I think Anna is just a wonderful, wonderful testimony of a gracious woman. Her name means gracious. And when she spoke, she chose her words carefully, and she made sure that her words were honoring and glorifying to God. And she spent her life spending time focusing on God and walking with God. And we see that when she, the final words of her communication was thanksgiving to God. She gave thanks for the answer to prayer. And I think when we pray and the Lord gives us exactly what we need. We need to make sure we follow those prayers up with thanksgiving. Say, thank you, Lord. I know it was you. Thank you so much for giving me the guidance, for helping the words to flow through me. Thank you for allowing me to understand the situation so that I could respond properly. So good communication, those are essential elements. And you can also find a scripture in Psalm 18:28 dealing with that exactly. A gracious woman shows kindness. She is polite, full of compassion and mercy. She is refined. You know, there's a saying that a woman in the castle should scarcely raise her voice above a whisper. We're not women in the castle, but we are daughters of the king. And this, you know, talking like the guys and just letting it all hang out and the crudeness and things that often characterize our society as being acceptable are not becoming of daughters of the king. And I think that we have to be careful, very careful. The things that we allow to come out of our mouths, are they glorifying? Are they representing our Savior well? The world talks about exuding confidence and representing ourselves well. But are we representing our Savior well? Because if you have a relationship with God, if you are a born-again Christian, if you know the Lord is your Savior, then it is your job as a daughter of the King to represent the King well. Let's look at number two. A damsel of dignity listeneth with her heart. Now, this is interesting. As human beings, we have the ability to listen 4 to 6 times faster than we can speak. Wow. Have you ever heard that saying, we have 2 ears and 1 mouth for a reason? We can listen a lot quicker than we can actually speak. But there are actually levels of listening. All of you have experienced this. Your first level of listening is to ignore. That's what you do when those people in the mall come up to you with that hand cream and want to demonstrate the Dead Sea minerals. You suddenly become very interested in whatever's in the storefront window beside you. You ignore the voices in the background. You pretend you don't even hear them. You just keep walking. Ignoring. We've all done that before. Then there's the pretending. You're right in the middle of something, and your children are talking to you, and you're like, And I've had this happen before, guilty. It's like, Mom, I just cut my finger. I'm bleeding. I'm like, oh, I'm sorry. But I'm just nodding. That's good. Nice. Mom, I'm bleeding. Oh, I'm sorry. You know, I was in another world. I was pretending like I was listening, but I really wasn't. Then there's the selective listening. We all blame men about this problem. Men are often blamed for the selective hearing. It's like, honey, will you please take out the garbage? No response. Honey, will you please take out the garbage? No response. Dinner's ready. Coming, dear, coming, you know. Then there's intent listening. That's where you listen on purpose. You listen on purpose because you really want to hear what the person has to say. And our last level of listening is the empathetic. Not only are you hearing the words, but you're understanding, you're relating to where they're coming from. It doesn't mean that you agree with the person and their point of view, but you are listening and trying to understand where they are coming from. Empathetic. And along with these levels of listening, we have levels of comprehension. We're trying to understand, but it's said that we comprehend about 10% by word. And I think that Proverbs 25:11 is an important verse that goes with this. The Bible says, a word fitly spoken, how good it is. 30% by sound. Proverbs 15:12 says, a soft answer turneth away wrath. I learned this. I did secretarial work for years. I was a switchboard operator for years before the Lord blessed us with children. And I quickly learned that you could totally, just by the tone of your voice, turn somebody around. Somebody could call the hospital screaming, "I got this bill, I paid these people, they're just furious." And just by a kind word and a gracious tone, it's like, "Oh, I know they will want to take care of this for you." And just sincerity in your voice, and they're like, "Oh, somebody's listening to me." And maybe they even really care. Just by the tone of your voice, you could totally turn a situation around and potentially even diffuse an explosive situation for the next person that you're transferring the phone call to. And so, a soft answer turneth away wrath. 60% body language. Now, as a daughter of the King, Colossians 3:3, the Bible tells me that my life is to be hidden with Christ. My life should be hidden with Christ, and this can be a difficult one. This can actually take practice, because we can hear the first few words of a story, and in our mind, our eyes are popping open, our jaw is dropping, and we're saying, "Oh, I can't believe this. This is awful," or "I can't believe this is true," or you're just, "No way." But if you want to be able to hear a whole matter, if you want to be able to hear a matter before you give your answer according to the principles of the Word of God, then you need to put your face and your mouth in neutral. And this takes a lot of practice, even the eyes in neutral, so that you are not responding inappropriately because you haven't heard the whole matter yet. We need to allow time to hear the whole matter before we respond with cheering. You know, you think you're hearing good news, and they're going to say, "Oh, but that didn't happen. You know, we were planning to do this and this," and you're like, "Oh, yay. No, I didn't finish yet." So we have to try to keep ourselves, with the help of the Holy Spirit and the fruit of the Holy Spirit, to put our responses in neutral so that we can hear a matter before we give our answer. So try to put those eyes in neutral, just staring ahead, not disconnected. Try to put your mouth in neutral. Don't let your jaw drop. Try to put these neutral expressions so that you can hear a whole matter. And this takes practice. It takes the help of the Holy Spirit, that's for sure. As a preacher's wife, an evangelist's wife, and missions, trust me, I have heard stories that would make my jaw drop, and very surprising situations. But to be able to hear a matter fully, we have to put our responses in neutral. We have to make sure we don't react, but we patiently wait so that we can respond in the Spirit. And so, with our levels of response, as we're listening, we're pondering, processing everything with our face in neutral, reflecting on the speaker, the words that they're saying, their facial expressions. And again, we don't have to agree, but we need to make sure we understand. And so one way of understanding and communicating with someone is rephrasing and reflecting their feeling. So you might say, "All right, this is what I'm hearing." And you rephrase it as you understood it. Or, "Let me make sure I'm understanding this clearly." Again, you're not agreeing, but you're rephrasing it, breaking it down, saying, "This is what I heard." So that is a way of communicating and keeping the communication flowing. A fundamental requirement of being a good listener is being trustworthy. Trustworthy. When someone has shared something with you in confidence, it is so important that you are trustworthy with the information you've been given. Now, I just spent some time down south, as I told you, and I want to share with you a nice little southern story. There were two men on the banks of the Santee River, one of our famous resort spots there in South Carolina. Great fishing, from what I'm told. Not my thing, but I'm told there's great fishing. And there were two men out there fishing on the river. And after a long pause, Bubba said to Earl, "Earl, I think I'm going to divorce my wife." Earl replied, Why'd you want to do a thing like that for? Well, Bubba said, she ain't spoke to me for about a month. Earl said, oh, Bubba, you better hold on to her. Them kind are hard to find. We don't want our men talking about us like that, do we? You know, a damsel in distress speaketh her mind always. We don't want to be a damsel of distress. James 1:26. The Bible gives a strong warning to the man that bridleth not his tongue. It is very important that we bridle our tongues, that we have our tongues under control. A damsel in distress is impulsive. She interrupts and finishes sentences. That's not a good thing, because you always need to give someone the opportunity to finish what they are speaking before you give an answer. She's manipulative to achieve her own desired goals. Manipulative behavior is not acceptable, shouldn't be acceptable for anyone, but much less a damsel of dignity. Name calling, fat, skinny, slob, stupid, always, never. The extreme words, stay away from always and never. Those are always negative words if you're using them in a negative conversation. In a positive conversation, they can be wonderful, but in a negative conversation, they are not good words. Guilt trips, harsh words. The Bible warns us in James chapter 5:8 that we can have deadly poison in our mouths. We need to be careful and cautious that we don't spew out any deadly poison to the people that the Lord has brought into our lives. Another bad behavior, damsel in distress, sarcasm. She's sarcastic. Matthew 12, verse 36 and 37, the Bible says that we're going to give an account of every idle word. That is a very sobering thought to me. I usually have a hard time thinking on that for too long, because every idle word, that's a very high accountability, but the Bible tells us we will give an account. Sarcasm twists or exaggerates the truth to manipulate the response of another. We are admonished in the book of Ephesians to speak the truth in love. Speak the truth, ladies. Next, confrontational. I want to say the rule here is haste makes waste. Don't be hasty to confront someone. Here are some poor responses. I have to take care of this. If I don't, no one else will. These are not good reasons to confront someone. This has gone far enough. I'm going to take care of this. You know, when my husband and I married 20 years ago, I was 20 years old. He was a pastor of a country church. We ran about 75 to 100 people. And every now and then you have one of those people that just go against the grain. And they're not just abrasive to you, they're abrasive to the people around you. And there was a lady like this that came to the church. And when on the Sundays that she did come, she would come in and take over. She'd bring her own snacks for all the children's church. She'd just kind of take over. And the poor teachers that had prepared and worked hard making their homemade little cookies, you know, they were just feeling so distressed and so despondent. And I looked, and the teachers were just so melancholy, and I said, I have to take care of this. So, in a spirit of love, I took her aside and ever so gently said, you know, if you would just put your son down in children's church, I'm sure that he would have a wonderful time without you. You probably just need to let him go one time. And I said, and the ladies, they work so hard to bring snacks on their own. They prepare so hard. You really don't need to bring snacks. And she's going to be happy and sweet, right? No. She put her hands on her hips and said, "Well, I have you to know." And Tay talked for about 5 minutes without taking air. Her face was beet red. She goes through every Sunday school class, jerking her kids out of class. One by one, stomps into the auditorium with doors like this, comes through here, grabs up one child from the pew, stomps out the back doors. The doors are still swinging, and my poor husband standing up at the pulpit trying to act like everything's normal. And I'm like, "Oh, that didn't go so well, did it?" Even though I did it in a spirit of love, you know, just because you do something in a spirit of love doesn't mean that you're the one to take care of it. And the line of thinking that I have to take care of this, or if I don't take care of this, nobody's going to, that's a dangerous line of thinking. We need to do what Anna did. We need to pray. We need to fast. In a situation like that, I should have gotten counsel from my husband. He was the one that was in the position of authority in the church to handle that. So there were so many things that I should have done differently that I didn't do the right way. We have another verse there that we can look up in Ephesians, but we're not going to take the time. But let me just say, ladies, when in doubt, don't. Okay? When in doubt, don't. Dealing with confrontation. A confrontational person finds fault and is critical. This is the foundational element of gossip. I've given my girls demonstrations of this. You're just looking at somebody and you're like, "She obviously didn't look in the mirror before she walked out the door. Or has she had that dress since she's in the third grade?" You know, all of these things that we can be fault-finding and critical, and we need to work on that, ladies. We just need to give it to the Lord and ask Him to help us think thoughts that are pleasing and glorifying to Him, and we really need the help of the Lord. Here's a few other things. A damsel in distress demands attention. James 3, 5, and 6, "The tongue is a little member and boasteth great things." Ladies, I want to say God will continually retest us. He will continually bring circumstances and people in our life to reveal the hidden man of the heart. We've all heard the saying, "She just brings the worst out in me." Well, she wouldn't be able to do that if it wasn't in there. So we have to realize the Lord is bringing these people in our lives for a reason. Because that worst part in me is exactly what the Lord is trying to get rid of. Because it is His goal that we be conformed to the image of His Son. Comparing, insisting she is right. You've heard people that will just argue till the sun is up about something that doesn't matter. You know, that's not going to matter 5 minutes from now. But they want you to know that they're right and they remember the right version. Don't be one of those people. Defending a reputation, requiring equal time, craving the approval of others, expecting recognition, and then if things don't go just her way, she just might pout, throw a temper tantrum. Yes, grown ladies can have temper tantrums. They may not lay on the floor flinging their arms and legs. We hope not. But we all know how we can have temper tantrums. Those attitudes, the silent treatment, you know, closing doors louder than they need to be closed, huffing, puffing, you know, flinging the food on the table. You know, we're not just setting it down. We're just there, you know. All of these things. Proverbs 25:24 warns us about the brawling woman. Ladies, the foundation of gratitude is the expectation of nothing. That's a statement by Paul Chappell. The foundation of gratitude is the expectation of nothing. We need to thank the Lord for what He has given us. Lastly, a damsel of dignity speaketh from the heart. Remember, Anna means gracious. A gracious woman uses God's word as the standard. The Bible tells us in 1 Peter 3, 1 and 2 that we should be chaste in our conversation. Chaste is pure. The Bible tells us in Proverbs 31:26 that we should speak with words of wisdom. One of my favorite ones that I always shared with my girls since they were old enough to listen. The law of kindness. If this conversation, if these words don't fit within the law of kindness, they are not acceptable. The law of kindness. A meek and quiet spirit. That doesn't mean that a lady of the castle should scarcely raise her voice above a whisper. A quiet spirit is one who does not seek to have themselves as the focal point of attention. You use moderation in your voice and in your body language that you are not causing yourself to be the focus, the central point of attention. Let's see, compassionate, encouraging, gentle, merciful. The intonations that we use, the stress of our voice. We all know how you stress a word, and something can be totally different by just the stress that you put on a word. The pitch, the way that we use juncture, the pauses between sounds and words. A damsel of dignity apologizes quickly and sincerely. If I have offended another person, I have offended God because I have violated His standard. And when we have offended another person, we need to make it right with God first, and then to the person that we offended. I must apologize to the person that I offended, and if there was anyone else that I involved in the situation, I need to apologize to them as well. And if I can still remember the offense, it is not too late. This past year, I was spending some time searching my heart, and this circumstance from a couple of years back kept on coming back to my mind. And I was reading a book, and it was talking about how we have our lives as a home, and it was talking about how that we can have the roof off, we can have what we consider to be a great relationship with God, but we've got these walls around our house, these walls of broken fellowship with other people because of how we have handled things inappropriately. And so if we can still remember it, if God is bringing it to our mind, then we need to give attention to it. No matter if it was 2 years ago, no matter if it was 10 years ago, if the Lord is bringing this to our mind where we handled something inappropriately, it is not too late to make things right. Proper apology. God has shown me that I was wrong when I did this. Will you forgive me? A book I was reading said you need to practice saying that in the mirror 10 times because those are some of the most humbling, hard words to get out. Talking about a frog in your throat. Will you forgive me? Those are very hard words. And it's also just as difficult to be on the side of the other person. You can go to someone and say, will you forgive me? And they're like, that's all right, it didn't matter. Ladies, when someone asks for our forgiveness, it is our job to accept the apology the right way. And we need to offer forgiveness. Yes, I will forgive you. We need to give them that forgiveness, that reconciliation. Matthew 5, 23 and 24, if thy bring thy gift to the altar, and there rememberest thy brother hath aught against thee, leave it there before the altar and go thy way. First be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift. You see, a damsel of dignity, she confronts with compassion. When we do have to confront someone, it should be in a spirit of compassion. If we were in their shoes, how would we want someone to come to us? Rebuke and meekness, privately if it was a private offense. The goal is to gain thy brother. Matthew 18:15. The goal is to gain thy brother that he might have his fellowship restored to God. That's rebuking for enlightenment. That the person may seek forgiveness from God and you. 1 John 1:9. And then as a last resort, if the person is unresponsive when you've approached them biblically, the Bible says that you would take another Christian brother with you. But a damsel of dignity is ready to forgive. Surrender your right for payment to God. Leave it in God's hands. Don't keep on holding out. You know, they never made that right. They said they were sorry, but they didn't make it right. You know, we need to surrender that to God. Pray for your offender. That'll put things in a whole different light. If you pray for the Lord to deal with that person as you would want him to deal with you, boy, that'll have you praying in a whole new light. That's a whole different story. Grant forgiveness. We talked about that a moment ago. Granting forgiveness quickly. Matthew 18, 23 to 35. If we harbor a grudge or bitterness or an unforgiving spirit, we'll have unrest in our soul. And the result will be afflictions of our body, in our emotions. And those are things that God does not want his children to have. So let's make sure that we are living with the roof off. Our relationship to God is right. The walls down. Our relationship to our brothers and sisters. We want all of those areas of our life to be right. It's not enough to be right related to God. We must be right in our external communication of that relationship. It's so, so important that we have these things in line. And I'd just like to close in a word of prayer before I sit down. If we could bow our heads and close our eyes.